Broadcasting to New York City, Los Angeles, Chicago, Sydney, London, and around the world, this is Trumpet Radio Live.
Thanks for joining us here on Trumpet Radio Live, 101.3 KPCG. We are online at kpcg.fm, live link at thetrumpet.com as well. A lot going on today, a lot to talk about. There is an NFL team in California that's moving to another city in California, but still interesting. We'll talk about that. Also, a list of the 10 best jobs paying $100,000 or more. You want an upgrade? Got a list for you. And live video grows as a platform to broadcast violence. This has been happening lately. Wall Street Journal's got an interesting write-up. That and more, this edition, Trumpet Radio Live.
This is Trumpet Radio Live.
Thanks for joining us here on Trumpet Radio Live, 101.3 KPCG. We are online at kpcg.fm, live link also at thetrumpet.com, and you can follow us on Twitter at kpcgfm. If you'd like to email us, please do that. Comments at kpcg.fm. I'm Dwight Falk, Grant Turgeon here today. We got an email in from a listener, which we appreciate, one of our loyal listeners that sends emails from time to time. And she said that her kids like to listen to the program while they're playing with their Legos. So we're reaching out to a younger audience, and they don't really know who we are necessarily, but they say we want to listen to those two funny guys with the big chins. They're talking about our picture that we have, the drawing for the program. So that's how they know us.
Well, we probably do reach a pretty large demographic with some of the things we talk about.
We'll have to do a Kids Corner segment. Something about, I do have a funny kid story, actually.
Good.
My daughter, who is just turned 5, she was walking up the stairs yesterday, or the other day, I can't remember, one of those days. And she gets to the top of the stairs, and she goes, oh, she's dad, you know, I'm getting older. My legs are starting to hurt. I said, I think you're okay. I think you'll be fine.
What is she, 5?
She's 5. Yeah. But she said a real matter of fact, like, well, you know how it is. Getting older. Legs are starting to hurt.
Who she heard that from?
I don't know. She had a gymnastics class. I think she might have been a touch sore. I said, look, you're going to rebound quick. At this age, you rebound. When you get older, you don't rebound as quickly. But you know how it is. Getting older.
Yeah, you've told some stories about her that make her seem really mature for her age. Like she's almost a 30-year-old or something.
She's got a few interesting thoughts about... Actually, we were talking on the phone earlier today. She wanted me to call her, so I called her. And when it got to the end of the conversation, she said, do you have anything else to say? Or
exactly.
And I'm like, no, I guess that's it.
There you go.
So I thought that was funny. I'm like, I end this conversation, not you. It was very polite, but still. You told me just a classic story before we came on the air. So why don't you go ahead and tell us about your night last night?
Oh, sure. I took my wife out on a date. We went to the Oklahoma City Thunder basketball game. It was great because they beat the Memphis Grizzlies, who had just beaten them by 34 points a week and a half ago. But the Grizzlies decided to ruin everything by playing the foul game in the last minute. So I looked at my phone when it was about a minute and 13 seconds left. It was 9:23 p.m. And then by the time the game actually ended, 1 minute, 13 seconds of game time, it actually ended at 9:38. So it took 15 minutes for the game to actually finish because the Grizzlies, every second the Thunder had the ball, they were fouling somebody to make them shoot free throws.
Right.
Which just really delayed everything. The Grizzlies had no chance to come back. They were even fouling with 4 seconds left, down by 9 points.
Right.
And so there's absolutely no chance they're going to come back. But the thing is, the two teams don't like each other, and so they were just being annoying.
So that was the beginning of what turned out to be a sequence of bad events for you. It all started with the Grizzlies, and then what happened next?
Well, after that, I just knew things were going wrong. And it all did start with the Grizzlies deciding to display some poor sportsmanship. We actually had planned to go to Vast, which is a restaurant in the top of the tallest tower in Oklahoma City, so mm-hmm. we did that after the game. And as we were going up in the elevator, I was goofing around. I was dancing, and I did a really deep squat with much force, and I split the back of my pants. And so as we got all the way up the elevator and we were coming out, Anya was just saying, hey, I'll just walk in right behind you, and no one will even notice your blue boxer sticking out of your pants. So we sat down, and that was fine. We were safe for a while because I was seated. But then we got our dessert, and I got my drink. I spilled my drink all over my shirt. Dessert fell all over my pants. And then as we were walking back to our car afterward, a big tree branch hit me right in the face. And then this morning, like right when I pulled out of the driveway, I think I popped a tire because I was bouncing up and down really hard as I was trying to drive. And I was driving really slowly, too, but my head was about to hit the ceiling every time. Every tiny bump, I was going flying.
Oh, man.
So it just set off a chain of events. I blame the Memphis Grizzlies, probably my second least favorite team after the Warriors, because the Warriors will never be dethroned.
Right. Wow, that sounds like quite a sequence of events. I'm trying to picture, you know, this occurring, because like you say, the first thing, bad enough, the pants, but you can maybe cover that, but then you spilled stuff on the front, so you got to cover like every side of your appearance,
right?
And that's very hard to do. Well, thankfully it was nighttime,
right?
So a little darker. Well, that is a sequence of unfortunate events.
Yeah, I would say it was all worth it, though. I mean, it was still a fun date night. My wife was highly amused, so she had an enjoyable time.
Yeah, you know, sometimes you go into places they say no shirt, no shoes, no service. How about split pants? Can you still get service if your pants are split?
If you're stealthy enough, apparently.
It's a bad sign if you split your pants on the way into the restaurant. If it's on the way out, well, maybe you ate too much, but you've got no more room.
I've done that so many times. Like, I've split my pants probably like 5 times.
Have you?
And they're not tight pants. I will just clarify that. It's just that I decide sometimes I feel energetic. I want to dance around. And invariably, the dance involves some sort of a deep squat, which will then rip the seam of the pants.
That's the problem.
A violent deep squat. That's what does it.
You weren't wearing skinny jeans.
No.
Wow. What a series of events. Well, on another sports-related note, the California, one of the teams there is moving. It's, of course, the Chargers. You've probably heard of this. San Diego Chargers plan to move to Los Angeles, ending a 56-year run in San Diego. Sorry, San Diego. Stay classy, though.
That's a bad move.
Sorry, that's a reference to a movie. I don't know. The L.A. just got the Rams, too, from St. Louis. Mm-hmm. And the ratings were pretty bad. They were a bad team. They didn't play well, so... L.A. just has teams kind of in and out of there. I mean, when I was growing up, it was the L.A. Raiders. You know, it was Oakland, then it was L.A., and then it was back to Oakland. The Rams were in L.A., then they left, then they came back. So L.A.'s got teams coming and going. I don't know if this will be a better deal for them or not. They say the Chargers return to their roots, where the franchise was founded, but it will be crowded with, of course, the Rams there as well. And in a related note, a fan egged the front door of the Chargers headquarters. So somebody was upset and threw eggs at their building.
Is it really that worth it for them to move to L.A.? Is the TV market really so impressive there that they're willing to split the city with two baseball teams, two basketball teams, another football team, pretty much two hockey teams because Anaheim is so close by? I mean, that's 7 other teams? They have a soccer team as well. Pretty much everything. San Diego... What else was even there? They had the Padres, and I think that's it.
Yeah, it's hard to develop fan loyalty because it's a new team in town, mm-hmm. and then, like you say, who do you choose? Like, who do you root for? Are you a Rams fan? Are you a Chargers mm-hmm. fan? So I don't know. I do feel like it is a little overcrowded. I don't know why they always move around. I think it has a lot to do with stadiums, and can they get new stadiums mm-hmm. and so forth. But anyway, so they're moving over there. If you're interested in that, some people probably are Chargers fans. Deer hunting, I guess, is over pretty much. I think, but it was around this time of year, a little earlier. There's this one hunter in Tennessee. He shot a 47-point buck. It's likely a world record.
Wow,
47 points. I'm no hunting expert, but like the legend is, oh, did anyone ever shoot a 30-point buck? Right, that's the legend. 47 points.
So that means 47 points on its antlers,
I believe,
right?
So, yeah.
They are called antlers.
I believe. Yeah.
I'm not too knowledgeable, but that is really that's hard to comprehend 47 points on antlers.
Yeah, they have a picture of it. The hunter's name is Stephen Tucker, and they think it's likely a world record. I guess it would be hard to exactly verify that. Not everybody would report every deer they ever shot in the history of the world, but but as far as they know, that's a record. And they have a picture, and I didn't sit there and count it all, but you can look at it and be like, wow, that's a lot of antlers, a lot of points on those antlers. Not a lot of antlers, two, I guess, but a lot of points on there. So I know that we do have some listeners that do enjoy hunting, and even if you don't, that's pretty impressive. Mm-hmm. They always talk about like the big deer story or the fish story, right? You know, oh, there was this one time. Thankfully, people have pictures to verify it. You'd never convince anyone you shot a 47-point buck.
No, that's like my first fish story. I'm pretty sure I've always told people it was like 3 feet long. So that was like relative to my body length at the time because I was really young. To me, it might have seemed like it was 3 feet long, but it was really only like about 4 inches.
Right.
But I just greatly exaggerated the story.
The old hunting and fishing stories. Of course, we've talked before that there's a legend that we, here on the campus of Herbert W. Armstrong College, there are three albino deer that are white. And I've heard various reports. Some people have really confirmed, like, yes, I have seen them, and others have said, I don't know, I don't think so. So there's a debate about it.
There's a lot of people, though, who are convinced they exist.
Yeah.
Could they really all be wrong?
I don't know. We don't have any photographic evidence. I did the other day. Actually, I was just driving back here to the radio station in the evening, and I saw what, if I didn't know better, I would think was a UFO. But we're close to Tinker Air Force Base, so they fly a lot of military aircraft around it. But it was so strange, and I saw it. I told my wife about it. I said, yeah, I saw this weird thing. And then we saw it the next night driving home, too. So they're flying something. Mm-hmm. And what's interesting about it is it was lit up, and it was just sitting there. It was like hovering, and that's what really caught my attention. And then when I saw it the second time, it was hovering, and then it flew away. And when it flew away, it looked like an airplane or helicopter, something that would have the lights. But when it was just sitting there, it just was hovering. And so I don't know what that was. Mm-hmm. I'm assuming it's a military aircraft, but you could see where people would see stuff like that and start thinking, oh, man, UFOs.
Yeah, and there have also been some odd stories about how the military has way more technology than they would ever even let the public know. You know, basically jets that move faster than even you can see, so, or even faster than the speed of sound. So it's not too surprising that people could go off the rails and think that there are UFOs maybe conducted by extraterrestrial creatures.
Yeah, that would be, that's the tipping point, the extraterrestrials.
Right.
UFO, unidentified flying object, fair
There's
enough.
There's plenty of those.
Sure.
If you just take it literally.
Yeah, don't know what it is. I couldn't identify it. Yeah, but pretty sure it's a military aircraft. But kind of interesting to see that. There's a story here about the deportations that have happened under President Obama. I don't think you'll be surprised to find out that they have dropped 73%. That is a 43-year annual low. So we are having more people come into the country, I think. I don't know the numbers, but I do think there's more coming in. But the deportations have dropped 73%, so more people staying here.
That really seems to be unsustainable because we've talked about before how a lot of those people can't really do a whole lot for themselves, especially when they first get here. A lot of them are coming out of abject poverty. That's why they made the trip in the first place. And it's a little bit hard to establish yourself when you need a lot of documents or paperwork to get most jobs, and so you're kind of stuck with under the table type of work, and really even your housing and everything else is limited, so we're not bringing in the best from other countries.
And they're not even in a position to really probably improve a lot because you have to keep everything kind of
exactly
under wraps. They say the main reason for the decline is the Obama administration's prioritization scheme that has steadily narrowed the types of cases that ICE officers are permitted to pursue. Another one of those tie their hands with policy. Mm-hmm. It says these policies have exempted all but the most egregious alien offenders from deportation. Currently, only aliens convicted of felonies, significant misdemeanors, or three lesser misdemeanors are considered priorities, and even there, they don't get everybody. They say, and exceptions are allowed in many cases, such as if the alien has acquired a family or other community ties here. That's what some people do, right? They'll come into the country just to have a baby quick, mm-hmm. to try to get citizenship or
right.
something.
They call that an anchor baby.
Yeah.
They're purposely having children so that they won't get deported because they know that our deportation laws are so lax now.
So that's that's not a good trend. Donald Trump yesterday had his press conference. We'll talk about that a little bit more later, and he was talking about building this wall. So we'll see whatever happens with that. But there's no doubt something needs to happen to just slow the tide of immigration. And, of course, then there are people that get up in arms about that thought and say, you know, you can't keep people out. Well, no one's suggesting that. It's just a matter of legally come in through the proper channels.
Yeah, and that was funny. It reminds me kind of that actress Meryl Streep's comments the other day where she said that Hollywood is crawling with immigrants, and if you kick them all out, we won't have the fine arts. But is she saying that all of the people in Hollywood are illegal immigrants? How did they get such an acclaimed status if they are illegal in the first place? I don't think that she understands that we're only talking about keeping illegals out.
Right. They just take them all up to Jupiter with Cher. I don't know if she's still there or not, if she came back.
Just because you're an immigrant doesn't mean that you're illegal. That's not what anyone's saying.
Right.
It's just a crazy way of thinking, and they might as well go to another planet thinking like that.
Yeah, it's a lot of different ideas flying around about that. There's this is a bad deal here, but I think it highlights something interesting. It's from the Baltimore area. This tweet was sent out to a school from a Twitter handle that was KKK affiliated. It was a racist tweet, a threat. They found the person that did it as a black student. It's the Arundel County Police Department. They've charged a 14-year-old girl with a juvenile citation for sending a threatening tweet related to the high school. Police began their investigation after high school officials told them about a suspicious Twitter account. The account is named @CoolKidsKKK. Not the most creative, reportedly sent out a tweet that read, "We're planning to attack tomorrow." So people take it seriously, and things do happen, so you'd have to. Police worked with Twitter and were able to identify the person who created the account and sent the threatening tweet. That person has been identified as a 14-year-old African-American female who attends the high school. Authorities interviewed the girl while she was with her parents, and police say she admitted to creating the Twitter account and sending the threatening tweet. So she's being charged with the juvenile citation. So, you know, kids do crazy things. But I think this is a reflection of the media's obsession with racism. Who's putting the idea in these kids' mind to try to set up a racist situation? I think the media is responsible for a lot of that.
Yes, and way too much credibility is given to these supposed hate crimes that are actually perpetrated by the group supposedly being hated on. You know, for example, all the anti-black messages that are being written onto the sides of buildings end up being written by black people. It doesn't make a whole lot of sense, but right. We're just, because there's such a rush to convict white people of racism, it's always taken as gospel every time.
Well, and that's where I think a lot of it's coming from, is because the media shines such a light on situations that appear to be race related, or maybe they are. And so there's a lot of attention and a lot of excitement and a lot of hoopla about it. And so what do you see happening? You see people trying to set up situations to make it appear like that's what's happening where it's not. And that's where I think the media has a big responsibility in that. I don't think too many people just of their own would think to do that. The idea has been put there in their minds, and it's because of what they're seeing on the news or social media and all of those things. And I think that's the interesting angle to the story. Not so much that a kid did something that was pretty stupid, that happens, but where did the idea come from?
Exactly. And it has to be from the media, because we're seeing basically if a certain group does an action, it's okay. But if a certain other group does an action, it's not okay. There can't be different standards for different people. Good is good. Evil is evil. And there has to be black and white about that every time. No pun intended. I wasn't trying to make a race joke or anything. But, I mean, there's all these double standards, and it gets confusing, and it gets all jumbled up. And an example of that is, haven't we heard countless comparisons of Trump to Hitler and how this is like Nazi Germany? But, of course, when he asks if this is Nazi Germany because of that false report circulated about him,
right,
Everyone freaks out that he said it. But aren't both sides saying the exact same thing, and only one side is actually in trouble for it, supposedly?
Sure. And you see that. I mean, even in the way the media treated President-elect Trump yesterday, with the CNN guy just losing his mind and the back and forth, and pretty disgraceful in every way. But they wouldn't have treated the current administration that way.
No.
They would have never sat there and, you know, and remember when that one, I forget who he was, politician of some kind, senator or something. You remember when he yelled out, "You lie,"
right?
The uproar and the outrage over that. And then this guy yesterday just goes crazy yelling at the president-elect. And some people are upset about it, but some are like, yeah, it's fine. So double standard.
Right. That CNN reporter was demanding that Mr. Trump let him ask a question.
It was like a tiny child, you know.
Yeah.
Like, you'll pay attention to me now. You know. Wow. There's a new study out. This is a health tip and something that I think is pretty common sense, but they've kind of looked at it scientifically. Study finds how stress raises heart disease and stroke risk. I thought it was interesting because there was I didn't read all the details, but this teenager, I think in Virginia, got in trouble for pretending to be a doctor.
Right.
Doogie Howser, MD. And I thought, well, you know, if people came to him and said, you know, I'm worried about my health, and he said, just relax. That's pretty good advice. I don't know if that's what he was doing. But.
Spot on. He doesn't need to go through years of schooling
no,
or anything.
Just relax. But they do say that stress raises problems with the heart and so forth. People with heightened activity in a certain area of the brain that I won't even try to pronounce, that's linked to stress, may be at greater risk of heart disease and stroke, scientists said on Thursday. And publishing their work in one of the medical journals, the researchers said the stress signaled in the brain is also linked to increased bone marrow activity and inflammation in the arteries, which can cause heart attack and stroke. So I think that's something everybody kind of knows, just common sense. If you're always real high strung and just a lot of tension, a lot of stress, it can wear you down over time.
Yeah, I think everyone probably knows that those things are truthful, but it's good to always have a study like that to be able to point to. For example, a lot of programs recently on this radio station were talking about how sitting for a long time can lead to poor effects on health. And just hearing those things from time to time does actually motivate people to at least get up and try to get active. It did for me, just hearing them. I knew that they were true, but hearing them a few times, having it come to the public consciousness can actually be pretty beneficial.
Yeah, and there is so much emphasis on health and so forth in commercials from the standpoint of, like, a lot of times prescription drugs, or mm-hmm. It's always being talked about. And, you know, one of the jokes, too, is, you know, if you feel like you might have something, never look on WebMD because you're gonna think you've got everything, the worst-case scenario. And if you get into that too much, you do start worrying about it. And the more you worry about it, the more – it's like a self-fulfilling prophecy.
My wife does that all the time. She goes straight to WebMD and then is telling me all these scientific names for diseases that she now has.
I would feel much better if I went to WebMD and it said, you're probably fine.
Relax.
You're okay. I should start a new one. Yeah. I have no medical training, but you're probably fine? Hey, okay.
Do like a stereotype of some Northeasterner just being like, relax. All these different phrases that they might say.
Yeah. Just say, hey, look, everybody's going to die someday. You're probably okay. I wouldn't worry about it.
Toughen up.
When you actually die, you'll probably know it. Or maybe not.
Right before, you'll probably know it's going to happen.
You'll have a pretty good idea that something's going on. Here's a list of the 10 best jobs, I think, that pay more than $100,000 a year. So if you're looking to make more or less, if you're a millionaire and you want to scale back, here's 10 jobs. A lot of them have to do with medical. A prosthodontist. They specialize in restoring and replacing teeth. You can make $161,000 a year.
Hmm.
That's pretty good. Something you can sink your teeth into. So that's pretty good paying, but you have to look in people's mouths. Number 9 is a dentist. Similar thing, obviously. You can make $172,000.
And everyone's afraid of them. So that's not good.
As we learned, everyone's afraid of them. I know why they make so much. Every time I have to go, I'm like, really, that much, huh? Okay.
So I can't pay the mortgage this month, huh?
Correct. Number 8 is a pediatrician, which diagnoses health conditions in babies, which could be kind of tough because it's hard to see a child have a problem. But at the same time, if they're doing pretty good, that's fun because kids are fun. Number 7 is, this is strange, a psychiatrist. $193,000? Really? I don't know about that.
Mm.
You just have to buy a nice couch, right? People lay down, tell you stuff.
Maybe there's not a whole lot of expenses for them, so they make a lot of profit from it.
I guess. I wonder, because in a lot of cases, like say you're a dentist, you've got to pay for malpractice insurance,
right,
which is expensive. What about a psychiatrist? Is there malpractice insurance?
I don't know. That's a tough one because
you've been messing with my head.
There are a lot of bad ideas out there that people don't necessarily get prosecuted for.
Yeah. Well, from what I've seen in the movies, to be a psychiatrist, you need a sweater, a couch, a pipe that's optional, and glasses. And just sit there and you go, interesting.
And a really soothing nap time voice.
Yeah. And you say, interesting. There might be more to it, but I think that's about it. Number six is a physician, of course. They make pretty decent money, $196,000 a year. Orthodontist, number five, $221,000.
Wow.
Straightening teeth and adjusting misaligned jaws. I'm surprised that that's that much more than a dentist, but I guess it takes more schooling.
Yeah, that's a pretty tough one because they obviously have to put things into the mouth. They have to attach metal to your teeth and such.
Yeah, you'd want to know what you're doing.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And they probably do a little bit of cleaning while they're at it, too, so it's like dentist up a level.
Yeah. Four is an obstetrician and a gynecologist. They make $222,000 a year. Oral and maxillofacial surgeon, $233,000. Number two is a surgeon. And number one, anesthesiologist. Which the only time I've ever had anesthesia was when I had my wisdom teeth out. And I do remember them saying that, well, explaining the bill to me, and most of it, like at least half or more, was for the anesthesiologist.
Wow.
But they got to know what they're doing because they could kill you.
Oh, yeah.
You can't give them too much or too little. You know, you don't want to come out of it in the middle of a procedure. So it is pretty specialized.
Yeah. Did you notice how many of those have to do with the mouth, or if not the mouth, at least the face in general? Just shows you we care a lot about what's up here.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. Speaking of how much money people make and mouths, a lot of MMA fighters that routinely get punched in the mouth don't make as much money as you would think. We know about the top, maybe a couple of people, and you hear their names, and you hear that, oh, they fought for 2 minutes and they made $2 million or whatever. The report is that most of the guys and girls are making about $40,000 a year.
Exactly. Yeah, and that's even high for some of the ones I've seen where it's like $500 for one fight. Because they're the first fight of the night, they're where no one's even in the arena watching yet.
Yeah.
So obviously, you're going to get paid by however many people are watching you, and however many people are tuning in to watch.
Yeah, and the danger is obviously as high as anything.
Oh yeah,
but they're not getting paid a lot. So it is interesting. They in the story they were talking about some like Conor McGregor, who's making a lot of money, I guess. And, you know, he's driving his Lamborghini, and then they show like a undercard guy that nobody knows, and he's driving like this whole beat up Toyota.
Right.
Celica or something from way back in the day.
Yeah, and a lot of those guys stay at their gyms because obviously training is kind of costly and they have to pay a good amount of whatever they make to trainers. So sometimes trainers have like an apartment loft above the gym.
Yeah. You can see why you'd want to kind of start taunting people, hoping that one of the big guys will give you a shot because you can make some money then.
Exactly.
But they're trying to get that Floyd Mayweather and Conor McGregor thing together. I happened to see a little just interview on one of the sports shows with Floyd Mayweather. He's made a lot of money, of course, and he calls himself Money Mayweather. So.
Yeah.
But it's funny because he was talking about how, you know, he wanted to get out of fighting before he like had problems with his brain. He already has problems with his brain.
Yeah.
Watch him talk. Everything's delayed, and it's just not firing like it should.
Oh yeah, he's never lost. He's 49-0, but there's definitely clips of him getting rocked and almost knocked out.
Sure.
A lot of those things take 6 months, a year to even recover from for your brain to really fully get back to functioning the right way. And yeah, he's a good example. He's made so much money off it, so maybe to him it's worth it, but still, his brain is slowed down.
He said he won't do anything unless he gets $100 million per adventure. So maybe he can spread some of that wealth to those poor guys that are making their way through the ranks.
He's really good at saving his money, too. He never has less than several hundred million in the bank at any one time.
Yep, that must be something.
I know.
We do not recommend getting into the fight game, by the way.
Exactly.
It's not good for you. It messes with your brain. There is a little formula here from this one fellow that did pretty well, made quite a bit of money. He said this is one simple formula. I don't know if it's a good one or not, but I thought it's interesting. He writes this down. He says, last week I worked a total of hours, so you fill in the blank. I earned so much an hour before taxes. Last week I put aside blank for retirement. So last week I worked so many hours for myself. That's how he calculates how he's doing, how much of his money is saved for retirement or whatever, where it's actually, you know, a gain for him in that way. So kind of interesting formula.
Yeah, that's definitely the right way to look at it. It's kind of like what we were just talking about, how saving does matter. It's pretty easy to just spend money in the moment, but what about whenever you're done working?
Yeah, so it's maybe an interesting formula to think about, maybe a depressing one as well, depending on what that dollar figure is. Penny saved is a penny earned. That's what.
That's right.
That's the big expression there. And then you have one penny.
And it's not going to buy much for you.
No. But back in the day, it bought more. You're listening to Trumpet Radio Live here on 101.3 KPCG. We are online at kpcg.fm. Live link at thetrumpet.com as well. If you'd like to follow us on Twitter, please do that at kpcgfm. And you can email us. We appreciate getting those comments at kpcg.fm. And if you'd like to send Grant Turgeon some pants, you can do that as well. If you're thinking, why did I say that earlier? He had a classic tale of a little problem with his pants.
I split my pants.
So you can go back and listen to that if you missed it. And we are on SoundCloud or iTunes or other places as well. I'm Dwight Falk, Grant Turgeon here. Abraham Blondeau stopping by. Ever happened to you, Abraham? You ever have a wardrobe malfunction?
A snafu, as it
yes,
were.
Yes, several. Yes, it's the most embarrassing one. Was when I was in middle school. We were at the sports day at a park near the end of the school year. And I was playing. We were playing soccer, and I was wearing jeans. And I went for this dramatic, amazing move that I thought would wow everyone, but actually ripped the inside of my jeans.
Yeah.
In a very uncomfortable area. So I had to walk around like that for a while, and then I'm like, "Well, like, what do I do?" So I just sat down, and someone had some spare shorts, so I put those on. Thankfully.
There you go.
But
I had the only thing really that's happened to me that I'm aware of is in grade school, a pair of like gym shoes. They were pretty worn out, and you know the soles are just glued on, like and they started to come off. But I was it's a pair of shoes I had, so I wore them. And we were in gym class that day, early in the day, and it was kickball. Ball rolls to me. I make a big kick. Bottom of my shoe flies off. So I don't have any shoe. I've got the shoe, but the bottom, I've got the sole on one side, the other side not, and it's got that little like felt stuff.
Yeah.
So in essence, I have no sole on the shoe. So I'm kind of off on my gait a little bit.
You lost your sole?
I lost my sole.
Yeah.
And so so there was nothing to really do about it. And I went through the rest of the day with no bottom on the one shoe. And we had to go out for recess, and it was raining. I mean, lightly, it had rained, and then we went out and played.
Yeah.
So it was a wet foot all day. That was a pretty bad one.
Seems like gym class is the main culprit. I also have a gym story. We were playing co-ed flag football, and I just decided for some reason it would be a good idea to wear those button-down track pants that have the buttons all the way down both legs.
Yep.
And so a girl reached out, grabbed my flags, and just pulled my pants right off, just unbuttoned, unsnapped every button, and I was just standing there in my underwear on the field in front of everybody. Once again, pants problem.
She must have been one glorious flag puller. She had that much strength to rip off.
She was bigger than me by quite a lot.
Wow,
she was just tall, not fat or anything.
That would be an embarrassing situation. Lessons learned all around.
And oh, of course.
Don't wear the snap pants. this next story here, of course this one happened. And this is, I try to find stories that are kind of odd and funny a little bit. And this one is supposed to be serious, but it's so ridiculous that you can't help but laugh. If there are those that really are into evolution, they might take this seriously, but I don't. And I think you'll see why. We talked yesterday about government waste, right? And this could fit into that. Scientists hear voice of ancient humans in baboon calls. That's legitimate. Like, this is a serious story now. Straight faces all around. They say baboon grunts and mating calls may hold secrets about human speech, or they may not, according to a new study suggesting that the origins of human language could reach back as much as 25 million years. I love it when they come out with these completely unprovable and huge numbers. Like, oh, 25 million. Why not 26? 24 and a half? 20 million? Like, you came to this. Like, how did you come to this number of 25 million years?
It just fits conveniently in their fossil timeline they already have.
Yeah. The barks, yaks, and wahoos
of the baboons revealed distinct human-like vowel sounds. I don't think they do. According to the study published Wednesday, the authors, who shall remain nameless, studied the acoustics of 1,335 baboon sounds and the animal's tongue anatomy. And what are you doing? What are you going to do today? Probably go in and study the acoustics of baboon calls.
I work at an elementary school. I do that every day. So,
you think this might be true? They say they also found similar muscles in baboon tongues as human tongues. Well, chickens have tongues.
Yeah.
And I don't know if they're similar muscles, but lots of animals have tongues. Language is a key difference, they say, between humans and the rest of the natural world. Yes, it is. But the origin of our speech remains one of the great mysteries of science. Could be God just put it there.
Yeah.
It's a possibility.
They could all take a few years off, a vacation, if they just would accept that.
These are just crazy. I mean, can you imagine presenting these findings? People are like, oh, wow. It's a joke, but they take themselves very seriously.
Yeah, well, I think obviously any kind of primate is the natural predecessor to humans from our evolutionary standpoint. And so I think this is one of many theories through the years of trying to show a connection between monkeys and apes and humans, when I think almost every time they're proven to be false eventually. And I think this one won't take that long.
That's a new study. So if you ever, hear a baboon, you might be hearing the ancient voice of humans.
They might be losing their minds a little bit, or they have a really vivid imagination.
Maybe they've watched Lion King one too many times.
Could be. It's very interesting. So that's one of the new big studies out there with some of the scientists. Keith David program's coming up here in a bit on KPCG. There's two episodes today. And that'll be coming your way in just a bit. Also, the Trumpet Daily Radio Show with your host, Robert Morley, today filling in. Here from Edmond, Oklahoma. And over there in Edstone, they were doing a little work on their studio and building. So live here from Edmond today. And he talked about Trump's wall and World War III. Has some sound bites in there from Donald Trump's press conference yesterday. The first one that he's had in 167 days, I guess. And so he talked about... He said he was going to be the greatest jobs producer that God ever created. Yeah, the guy's got a little confidence, but that one pops out a little bit. Like, wait, no.
Confidence bordering on hubris.
Yeah, that's the greatest ever. Wow.
Yeah, well, it seems like that's his catchphrase. Great again, greatest ever.
Great guy.
Yeah, exactly. He's a great guy. So.
They say that... Robert Morley brings out how Donald Trump's tough talk, a lot of people think it's going to lead to a trade war. We are interconnected globally, even though we've been getting probably the bad end of the deal for a while. It's kind of hard to turn that around. But he asks the question, do the forecasts made by Herbert W. Armstrong during Nixon's tenure reveal America's near future? So really interesting program today, and make sure that you do listen for that. And if you can't catch the replay, or didn't catch it live, the archives are at kpcg.fm, SoundCloud, or iTunes as well. Abraham, you've got an interesting story for us here from the Columbus Dispatch. Taiwan responds after China sends carrier to strait. They're having a little tension there in that part of the world.
Yeah, China yesterday sent its only aircraft carrier it has, newly commissioned in 2012, up the Taiwanese Strait, and that's the narrow body of water dividing Taiwan from mainland China. It was seen as a very provocative move, especially since the aircraft carrier did have aircraft on deck, which does mean that they were ready to be launched if necessary. In response, Taiwan scrambled F-16 fighter jets and dispatched a frigate through the strait to... In response to this, and this is the third day in a row that Taiwan has had to do such things in response to this aggressive Chinese action. And this, above all, was probably the most provocative act, and a very big signal being sent from China to the rest of the world, especially in light of Donald Trump taking the call from the Taiwanese president, that China does... see Taiwan as part of China, and that they're willing to make statements and back up their will with force.
It'll be interesting to see what continues to happen there. Of course, they're just right off the coast of the mainland there, and China's been very aggressive going after those waterways. And so they're kind of doing the they're having similar actions, I guess, to what Russia's doing. They want to bring all of their kind of lost peoples, I guess, if you want to call them that, those lost territories back into the fold. And it's sort of a similar policy.
Yeah. I think the one China policy has been described before, but that's at the heart of all this. And it is a difficult thing to get to the bottom of, because Taiwan is the remnants of the Democratic Army that fought in China against Mao and the communists in the 1950s, or late 1940s. And so China's always wanted to defeat Taiwan because they see Taiwan as a bunch of rebels that need to be conquered. And so Harry Truman is the one that first made the one China policy, basically that America does not recognize Taiwan as a separate nation, but as part of China, but that they're independent still. So it doesn't really make a whole lot of sense to me, especially when you read, especially since the people in Taiwan were our allies for so long, and then we basically, 1979 under Jimmy Carter, became official policy, the one China policy for the American government, and it's been that way ever since. And as the a Taiwanese government official said, the geography should make the policy binary. There are two separate chunks of land, and so that means there should be two separate people. So what's really at the heart of this is this whole one China policy debate is going to come to a climax, to where eventually China will have enough power. They might be able to overpower the U.S. In the region. That's what they've been gearing up to do in the South China Sea, to where if there is a military invasion of Taiwan, the U.S. might not be able to respond in time.
Yeah, that leads into my what I was going to ask. I don't know if you know this, just kind of off the cuff here, but with our one China policy, what was our policy in regard to that? If China were to invade, would we be there to defend them? Was that part of our policy with them?
Yes, the America has sent. They usually have a carrier strike group near Taiwan, and that generally has dissuaded China from doing anything, since China didn't have any aircraft carriers, had a very weak navy, and the U.S. had strong ally in Japan and South Korea. It was generally understood under certain presidents that America would act. Modern times, it'd be more in the form of sanctions, much like how we reacted to Ukraine. It'd probably be a very, very similar situation to that.
Right. Which would be, you know, can you imagine being those people, like, say, Ukraine, or let's say something happened with Taiwan, where we don't do anything to stop the aggression, but we give them sanctions. You know, if you're the people on the ground, you're like, well, thanks for the sanctions and all, but that hasn't solved our problem here. At some point, you got to put a little skin in the game.
Yeah, exactly. That's really what this whole subject always brings up, is the U.S. since the Korean War in the 1950s, the U.S. has refused to really stand up to China in any meaningful way. We've tried to coalesce them through diplomacy, economic ties, but even in the Korean War, the Truman government refused to take military steps to defeat the Chinese armies fighting the American ones. Now, there are good reasons for that. They had a mutual defense pact with the Soviet Union, so the Korean War could have sparked some kind of nuclear conflict. So that was the main drawback to fighting China in a more aggressive manner. However, since we did back down from China in the Korean War, we have never been able to send them a clear message that America is willing to fight against them militarily if necessary. And China has nuclear bombs now. They have a very, very strong navy. They have an army that can conceivably be as large as 400 million men. So China now is so strong that any war against China would be very, very difficult for the U.S. to gain any advantage from, especially with Taiwan. And especially with the way modern policymakers are thinking, they'd probably be willing to sacrifice Taiwan, because, or else you might start a nuclear conflict or something like that.
Right. Yeah, it'll be interesting to see. New administration coming in. How do you deal with nations that have been our allies, but we've sort of
Taiwan's a little different story, I guess. I was thinking more of like Israel and some of those areas, but it'd be interesting too because President-elect Trump is very boisterous, I guess, in what he says. Will the actions back that up, or does it become a situation where you don't really back it up and therefore it's disregarded, like say Duterte in the Philippines? I don't think, well, some people probably take him seriously, but I don't think most people do, even though he's got a lot of big words. So be interesting to see.
Yeah. General Mattis's confirmation, his first hearing is today in the Senate. And
but does that guy not look tired to everybody?
Yeah.
You ever seen anybody with bags tired under his eyes that much?
Me.
No, not even
mine are pretty big.
I saw the picture of him. I thought, that guy needs a little shut-eye.
Yeah, he's a very distinctive look to him.
Yeah.
In fact, he wears his flak jackets backwards. He prefers to wear them backwards for whatever reason. But anyway.
Style.
That man is hired.
In the confirmation hearing, the Senate is trying to hear his different opinions on foreign policy and how the U.S. military should act. And he's very strong on China. And he does believe that when U.S. diplomats talk to China, they should have the force to back up any threat they make. So if he does become Secretary of Defense, I think that's the position.
There's a lot happening there with those.
Yeah, he'd be running the military. I forget the title, but he does want to be more aggressive towards China. So. He still isn't confirmed, but it'll be interesting to see if he clashes with Trump or even if it's just the U.S. economy can't really back up those aspirations.
Sure. Yeah, we'd have a lot of fronts to deal with if we dealt militarily. So Taiwan responds after China sends carrier to Strait. That's at the Columbus Dispatch. Grant, you've got a story for us. This is really interesting. It's something that's coming up because of technology, and related to this headline is something that happened just a few, I guess, days ago. There was a 12-year-old girl. I think she was in the UK. I can't remember if she was there or somewhere else. But anyway, 12-year-old girl committed suicide live on, I think it was Facebook. And this has been happening. Violent, terrible acts that unfortunately have occurred in man's history, but now they're being broadcast live. And there's no indication that that would happen. You don't know what you're looking at. So this is a write-up from the Wall Street Journal in relation to stories like that. Live video grows as platform to broadcast violence. Experts say Facebook Live, Twitter's Periscope are increasingly used to stream and provoke violence. New technology, new evil.
Right, and it's giving a pretty big problem for social media companies to solve and also for law enforcement when it comes to things like gang violence. There are instances where gangs will actually go into rival gang territory. They'll be putting up their gang signs and they'll be filming themselves just to show that they're not afraid of the other gang. But really, a lot of these gang violence issues come from, or they're sparked by, a confrontation online. So if they go into rival territory and they take a live video, then that makes the other gang angry and they might have a shootout. That's just one issue that can happen.
Yeah, it used to be word of mouth. You hear what so-and-so did, and there'd be an escalation, and now they just show you. They videotape it or broadcast it live in this case. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, it's just an unbelievable thing. It brings up legal questions even because there was a story the other day about some families of people that were victims of ISIS were trying to sue, I think it was Twitter. Or one of, maybe it was, I can't remember if it was Twitter or somebody else, but because they were allowing them to put up their messages, ISIS put their messages online. So again, are they liable? It's an interesting legal question, but no doubt the ability to put a message out there immediately in real time and in video in this case, it's bringing up a lot of problems.
Yeah, it really is, and it is difficult for these companies to do something about it because a lot of the time they just rely on their users to stop objectionable content by flagging it. And then they will have, I guess, a moderator come and look at the flagged content and remove it. But if it's going on live, I mean, it's something that it's kind of hard to stop right away. They're even looking at making artificial intelligence that can scan for violent content on these live posts and remove it right away if they see any.
Yeah, I mean, there are so many people that are live all the time. How would you even keep track of it? You'd have to have an army of people just watching all of these feeds, and I would imagine you couldn't keep up because new accounts pop up all the time.
Right.
So if they could develop some sort of AI, that would be interesting. But I don't know exactly how you would do that. I have no idea how they would do that.
Yeah, it sounds nearly impossible. I mean, would they take out all weapons? Because what if it was a hunting video? I mean, it's just kind of difficult for artificial intelligence to discern what is violent and what is actually a useful live video. And there are just so many examples of violent acts taking place on these live platforms. I believe it's been 40 at least in the last year that were just widely reported on by news outlets. There was, of course, the attack last week with the four young black people who tied up and they beat that white mentally impaired teenager in Chicago. And then back in March, another Chicago man was actually unexpectedly shot while he was just live streaming in front of a convenience store. That wasn't obviously his intention. And then in April, an Ohio teenager was actually accused of live streaming a friend's rape. So a pretty disgusting story there, where at first she was trying to protect her friend by putting a video on live so that nothing would happen. And then once the assault started happening, she actually just kept filming it because she saw all the likes coming in. Right. And a lot of these people, that has been deemed their motivation, where they are just so pleased that a lot of people are watching the video. It's going viral. They're getting a lot of responses that they just keep on, they keep on sending out the video because it might be sick, but at least they're getting attention from it.
Yeah, it's like they're acting out their own movie, but it's mm-hmm. real. And they're hoping for acceptance or people to like it. And you just think not only about the horrific act, but the people that like it, that say, oh, yeah, I like that. I mean, I suppose whenever they were sitting there developing Facebook or any of these technologies, I don't think you'd ever think down the road and think, people are going to do this, and this with it. These technologies have a lot of great uses. We use them, and they can spread information. But boy, the evil is just growing faster than the technology. It's crazy.
Right, and it's really tough for anyone to keep up with it or regulate it. In most cases where these violent incidences occur, the police don't even know about it. Thousands, millions of people have already seen the video before the police are alerted, and they might even appear at the scene of the crime and not even be aware that it was streamed live, whereas if they had known about it, they could have been there a lot faster.
It's amazing. It reminds me, just off the top of my head, I don't have the exact reference, but the Bible talks about we're not even ashamed of sin. We just put it up on the rock, mm-hmm. For everybody to see. I mean, that's what this is. Yeah. There are people, this not like acts like this haven't occurred in man's history, but usually it was, people tried to get away with it or tried to be secretive, and now they're broadcasting it,
to
the world, and seem to enjoy doing it, and then they get caught, and you'd think they would at least have a fear of getting in trouble, but no, they just broadcast and hope it goes viral like the ones in Chicago last mm-hmm. week.
Yeah, that's what's really interesting about this is obviously it has a lot of positive uses, but it's creating platforms for deviant behavior become popular, and now you have communities of people who have problems or propagate this kind of behavior. They're communities with each other. And it's not just one person kind of doing it on their own behind closed doors. Now it's out there for everyone to see, and it keeps dragging other people into it, whether willingly or by accident. And so it's just it's a great way for sins to multiply because they're being broadcasted, and whether people want to or not, they're being advertised.
Yeah, that's a good point. People are finding each other that want to be involved in these things, and then also in order to get more likes, right, you have to be more extreme. So not only are we probably going to see more, unfortunately, but it will become more extreme, like everything does. It just gets worse and worse and worse. We were talking the other day about millennials. We had a report about the millennial generation, and I was thinking, what's the next generation like? What's going to be their claim to fame? I guess it's going to be the generation raised on the internet. Right? Mm-hmm. Raised on Facebook, raised on this social media. What kind of people will that produce as a generation? If you will, in some cases, commit crimes like this, or at least watch it, not that everybody would, but some will, and it's growing. What kind of people are those?
Well, yeah, why are millions of people watching it, and why are there so many likes pouring in that people are still motivated to continue streaming the video? And those people who like it, what is their intention after they see it? Do they have any sort of motivation to try the same thing or something worse after watching a video like that? I mean, that's just it. Just the fact that it's so prevalent that there are people out there who are desensitized to just disgusting actions like that is pretty alarming. And how else can you explain it other than they're staring at their screens all the time, and there are all these influences that are out there, and they're just constantly tapping into it, so they just need something worse and worse every time to try and get that high from it.
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly what I was thinking. It's like a drug, and you need a new stimulation, so you want to see something more extreme or something worse. And for those people that, you know, I suppose some would stumble across it, and that's bad enough, but then some will probably look for it, too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's amazing.
Yeah, I listened to a lecture by David McCullough, and people, it was a Q&A, and people are asking him, well, how will people remember this modern generation, the millennials, and the one with all the new technology at their fingertips? And he was just contrasting it to, basically, today a lot of people think we're the moral high ground. We criticize the founding fathers. We could criticize all these people for owning slaves,
mm-hmm.
inequality, all these things. But he points out, when people look back on this generation, at what we leave behind for the future, it's going to be these terrible Facebook Live videos.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the legacy we're leaving to our grandchildren.
Yeah, it's just startling. That's all the time we have for today's program. Thanks for joining us here on Trumpet Radio Live. Kia David, Trumpet Daily Radio Show, coming your way. Have a great rest of your Thursday. For myself, Dwight Fault, Grant Turgeon, and Abraham Blondeau, we'll see you back here tomorrow.
You're listening to Trumpet Radio, 101.3 KPCG.